It was claimed by the United States and Europe 2 or 3 weeks ago, 12-point peace plan, they said. And what this reporter was actually complaining about, it says it sounds like it's just a something that Putin would love. And what do you say about that? Here's how he reacted.
Важливо, що ви самі вирішили, що є такий план і зробили свої висновки. Важливо в цьому питанні, чи бачив я як президент України цей план? Ні. Європейських ідей може бути різних і може бути багато. І вони є консультації. Наша позиція наступна. Зараз є консультації серед радників, є кілька різних розмов, жодного плану чіткого на столі поки що. Наші бачення, до речі, вони не нові. Тобто ми розуміємо, що це за війна, і розуміємо, на що ми готові піти, так, і ми розуміємо, які перші кроки повинні бути, щоб в цілому перейти до дипломатії, тому що поки її немає, ми з вами це бачимо. А після цього, після наших напрацювань, вони все одно не будуть готовими без позиції Сполучених Штатів Америки. Тому що поки що без сили Сполучених Штатів Америки і в підтримці нас зброєю, і в політичному сенсі слова, поки що прийти до дипломатії.
So that is astounding. Don't miss this. Don't just hear this comments droning on and then we just miss it. He was answering a direct question. This is, again, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, where this 12-point peace plan came out. And so this reporter is asking him, what do you say about this? Is this actually your plan? He says, well, you can have your own opinion on that, I guess, if you want. But the question is, has the president of Ukraine seen it, i.e. me? No. He just says flat no. Then he says, in direct claim, there is no plan. There's no peace plan. And then he goes on to say, now our position is very clear. We're talking about it. He goes, ours hasn't really changed. There's a lot of different opinions, and we're talking to Europe and America and everything else is talking about it. And then the last thing he says is that we also understand that without the direct participation of the United States and the agreement, then there's also no plan there either. And as you certainly should know well by now, and is kind of indirectly exemplified by Ambassador Whitaker in that those first couple of comments here, we don't have a plan either. The only plan we have is that, and what Ambassador Whitaker was talking about, this, the Pearl plan, where we're going to just sell a bunch of weapons and ammunition to Ukraine that the Europeans will pay for and that they'll be able to get. What Ambassador Whitaker didn't say there, but President Trump did just a few days ago, I think 2 days ago to be specific, when asked about this on 60 Minutes on Sunday, he's like, well, you know, sometimes you just got to fight it out. He said also on Air Force One, I think we showed you that on Monday. He goes, sometimes you just got to fight it out. What does that even mean? You've got to fight it out. Towards what end? Ukraine can't fight it out and win. They will lose. They are losing. I just showed you there graphically on the map. If you watch with us, we've been tracking this really a lot here in recent days because there's been a lot of movement. It's no longer moving these small, little bits that it had been. It's moving pretty rapidly now to the point to where nearly all of the city of Pokrovsk is now lost, and there's now been a nominal connection between the northern and the southern groupings of the Russians, and so that some large number of Ukraine troops are now physically surrounded, and they're already under fire control on all sides now around that. I could have gone the same thing on Kupiansk. It's a very similar situation there where the two points are now closer than they were. They're not yet connected on that time, but they do have it under fire control and all the troops inside that pocket. And then all the other places where in Siversk, especially, they're on Konstantinivka, the Russians are in the cities themselves. Everywhere you want to look, this is the case. And yet, this claim that, no, everything's fine. We have this plan, and we don't even have a plan. Are we helping them with the PURL in order to prevent Russia from winning? Or is it to somehow help Ukraine to win? Are these sanctions supposed to cause something here? I mean, what is the objective? What is it you're trying to accomplish with all that? We don't have an answer. Europe doesn't have an answer. They had a suggestion. In fact, Gary, if you could put that 12-point peace plan, this is actually what they're talking about here. They want a ceasefire to begin 12 hours, 24 hours after they accept the plan, freezing of the current front lines, monitoring begins under the leadership of the U.S. Ukraine and Russia agree on a non-aggression pact and so forth and so on. You don't even hardly have to get into the rest of those because Russia is not going to agree to a ceasefire without any details on that. Because while we don't have a plan, we don't know how we're going to get there, the Russians do. Here is the Russian ambassador to the UK who was answering that very first question about whether they would be willing to have a ceasefire.
We need an overall agreement which will resolve problems once and forever. Security problems in Europe, guarantees, security guarantees for Ukraine, for Russia, absolutely, for everybody over there. For this, we need a good preparation meetings, a lot of meetings perhaps. So far, we do not see neither that there is a plan in Ukraine or European allies here or in London that they do have a prepared plan, like in Gaza, for instance, which was around 20 points prepared plan before a summit meeting.
But that was a ceasefire. And often you need a ceasefire first and then talk about the substantive issues. Why won't Russia do that?
Very simple. We have a long history of negotiations with Ukraine. And we know that a simple ceasefire will bring nothing to it because Ukraine will be very stubborn, supported by the allies, not to negotiate further on. And we did have such a situation in April 22 when we have decided on a ceasefire. Even we have withdrawn our contingent, which was not far from Kyiv, just as a sign of goodwill. And then nothing. Boris Johnson, the prime minister, has come and said, Ukraine should fight. You continue fight. No peace with Russians.
So that, listen, he's just repeating things that you've heard Vladimir Putin say many times, Sergei Lavrov. The bottom line is Russia has a plan. They're saying we will accomplish all of our objectives, which they specify, demilitarization, denazification, the territories of the four oblasts that they have annexed to their country and no NATO. So independence and no military alignment whatsoever. Those are their statements. They've never said anything different. They repeat it ad nauseum. And they also say, we're not going to have a ceasefire without a deal. We'll talk and we'll work on a deal. And if we can get a deal, then we'll cease the fire. That's how they're saying they're going to do it. And the interviewer there was right as far as it goes. Sometimes you have a ceasefire and then you have negotiation. Certainly that's true sometimes. But that happens almost every time when there is no clear advantage for either side and they both have motivation, like say with Israel and in Iran earlier this year, when they both agreed to stop that fighting, the so-called 12-day war. Nothing was accomplished, by the way. They just stopped. Both sides agreed to stop shooting at each other because they both had motivation too. That's not the case here. Right now, the Russians do not have motivation to, and they have, as he pointed out there, a lot of bad history with what has happened when they do have a ceasefire without a deal in place. And you can go back to the Minsk agreements. You can go back, as he did there, to their interpretation of events that happened when the Russians withdrew from the Kiev and several other areas. And they said, you know, then the no deal was done. And they call it goodwill. You can interpret that however you want to. But the bottom line is, from the Russian perspective, when they have tried to have a ceasefire without a deal in place in order to get one, it always blows up in their face. So now then they're saying, because we have the power, we have the wherewithal, we will not stop fighting. And you see they're living it out. They're doing exactly what they're saying on the battlefield. And so you can keep asking them all day long for this outcome, and you're going to be disappointed. All day long, every day, as we would be. There is, me to be clear on something here, if the roles were reversed, 100% certainty, we would never stop fighting. If we were in the position of authority, we would compel and require the other side to submit to our preferred outcome, or we would keep fighting. I mean, our side is doing that now anyway from a position of inferiority. We're continuing to fight, even though it's counterproductive, if not outright suicidal, for the Ukraine side. So it's just beyond absurd and embarrassing to actually send all of these otherwise and allegedly intelligent people to go on television and to have these interviews and stuff where we're asking the Russians to do things we won't do and would never do under similar circumstances. And Russia's just going, okay, I mean, if y'all want to do that, I guess you can. I mean, they do seem pretty resigned to, they still hold open the possibility of discussions. Putin still continues to keep the door open. Sergey Lavrov keeps the door open, especially to the United States. They say they want to have a negotiated settlement on those terms, which are non-negotiable to them, but they want to have them because they know the war is going to have to end at some point, and they're already looking beyond that. They want to have some nuclear reduction talks with the United States, et cetera. All of those things are still on the table. So the Russian side has a plan. They have a resource to accomplish their plan, and they will get it this way or they will get it that way. Unlike our side, which has no plan. We don't even have a concept and a theory for how it might end well. Just this unsubstantiated idea that, well, we want to force Russia into a negotiated settlement of our preference, even though there's no logical, rational path to how that's even theoretically possible. Other than the sentence and the statement, there's no, they don't even bother to go to the difficulty of saying, well, here's how it could work. They don't even do that, which means that we are sealing our own doom to ultimate failure. And of course, we're sacrificing Ukrainian men, territory and cities and everything else in the path on that. That is going to be our history. And when this is looked back in history, that's what's going to be our legacy. Because we, from alleged intelligent people with all kinds of resources and everything else, refuse to look at the ground as it is, refuse to consider the diplomatic realities that exist, the economic realities that exist, or the battlefield realities. We refuse carte blanche across the board, all of it. And there will be a price to pay for this. There is an end to this. It will come, and it's going to be worse for us the longer it goes and the longer we stay disconnected from reality. And the Russians appear very patient. They're not rushing this. They're not pushing forward. They've said many times, and now the evidence seems to confirm it, they're not on a time clock. Time is not against them. Time is on their side, and they seem content if it takes a long time. And ultimately, no matter how long it takes or how quick or if there's a sudden break, it's not going to go well for our side. And I keep showing this over and over in graphic ways. It's one of the reasons we have this channel, because unfortunately, you get sound bites from some of these things, and I've seen some already showing up on some of the Western media from this meeting that we talked about that happened earlier today in Kiev, and they won't put the context in it. So people will just hear these statements and these comments, and they'll just assume things because they think that the Western leaders are intelligent and have their best interest at heart. And unfortunately, evidence now shows that is a false assumption, and it's going to go badly for everyone who continues to believe that. Well, that's all we have for you today. We will be coming back to you later this afternoon. I don't know if you've seen Dick Cheney has passed away. I have some very strong feelings on that, that it may not be what a lot of people are saying in public right now in Western media. Again, we're going to talk about some reality. I had some direct experience in my military career under the Dick Cheney regime, if you want to use that term, I guess. Both in Desert Storm and in the 2003 Iraq War. We'll bring that to you about 2:30 p.m. this afternoon. And anything else that breaks, we'll continue to bring it to you. And also, we want to make sure you're aware that we are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Addict. Let your friends know who prefer to get their information that way. I know a lot of people do when they're going to work or they in their car, they just they want to be able to hear podcasts that way. And so we're making it available. Well, we're also available for your friends who like the written form, the DanielDavisDeepDive.substack.com. And we have it for you there. That also has some videos and some written form. However you need to get your information, just understand we've got it there for you because we want everybody to know we are unintimidated and uncompromised to bring you the truth you need and deserve. And we'll bring it to you every day, because you're not getting it many other places. Thank you very much, folks. We'll look forward to seeing you this afternoon on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.